Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28. And this morning I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. Chapter 28, the last chapter of that Gospel. First book of the New Testament. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And in these few short verses, God's Word says this. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' And if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, from these few short verses here, what are we to glean? What are we to learn about your truth here this morning? And Father, that's what you need to put on all of our hearts and all of our minds, the truth that we need to learn and understand about you here today. Father, as I speak, I just ask that the words that come out of my mouth here this morning are going to be pleasing to you, and certainly not of me, but words that that you will have me to say, Lord. I must decrease, and you must increase, Lord. May you get all the glory and the praise for the transformation that will happen in all of our lives here today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, this past week, actually I guess I could say the past 2 weeks in this journey through the New Testament in 2012, we started with Matthew 26, verse 26, and we actually started getting into Mark chapter 1, verse 22. And I hope everyone's had an opportunity and a chance to be able to do their daily reading. I know it's been great for me to do the preparation for this and just praying about the fact that the rest of my brothers and sisters in Christ at Beach Grove are reading along with me at the same time. But as we've been taking this journey through the New Testament, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, I have focused mostly on the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the elders, and the chief priests. And this morning I'm going to conclude the Gospel of Matthew by talking about that group of people just one final time. Let's kind of recap previous sermons in the Gospel of Matthew through this journey, what we have learned about these Jewish leaders. Well, one Sunday we learned in Matthew chapter 3 that the religious leaders were at odds with John the Baptist, and they questioned his actions and refused to be baptized by water for the repentance of sins. In Matthew chapter 15, we know that Jesus called the religious leaders blind guides. These guys are blind guides, and he tells his disciples not to follow them, to leave them alone. Why? Because their theology was flawed. And then in another Sunday, in Matthew chapter 21, by using a parable, Jesus tells the religious leaders that the vineyard would be taken from them and given to another people. And we know that that other people is us, the church. Why was it taken from them? Because they failed to take care of it properly and according to God's Word. And 2 weeks ago, from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus pronounces 7 woes on the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. Oh, they appear to be clean and righteous on the outside, But on the outside, Jesus says they are full of dead men's bones. And they were self-righteous. And because of that, they thought they had no sin. And ultimately, that was their sin. And there's plenty more that we did not cover and we did not talk about these religious leaders. But today I'm going to conclude with these words here from Matthew chapter 28, a very interesting passage of Scripture. Let me just start off by saying this, and I'm sure you know of this too. There are people in the world, and there are groups of people in the world, that will not believe in something, regardless of the truth or how overwhelming the evidence might be. Let me give you a couple examples. There's an organization out there called the Flat Earth Society. I did a little research on these people. They don't necessarily believe the earth is flat. They just don't believe it is round. Okay? Well, there are some people that believe that Elvis never died back in August of 1977. And they will say that he is still alive. Even one time back in the 80s, they say that he was spotted at the Pizza Hut in Elkton, Virginia. There are some people who believe that Flight 93 never crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on September the 11th, 2001. They say that the plane landed safely at an undisclosed location and that all the crew and the passengers just walked off into anonymity. And there are those who believe that man never walked on the moon. They say it was all staged. Some of the events were shot in a studio, and some other events were shot in the deserts, in Arizona, New Mexico, and other places. Well, I think we all know that the evidence and the facts to affirm these four events are many, and others just like them. The evidence is just so overwhelming. But as I said before, regardless of the truth, or how overwhelming the evidence and facts may be for an event or an issue, there will be some people who will continue in their unbelief. Let's get back and talk about the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders. The Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. They didn't know when, but the Jewish scriptures, which are our Old Testament, gave many prophecies about the Messiah. And the Jewish leaders should have known about these prophecies. The Jewish leaders should have been smart enough to know that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all these prophecies. Here's just a few that they should have known. And before I go into this, some people think that there was as many as 308 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Here's just a couple. One, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And that was prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and fulfilled by Jesus. And the Jewish leaders, they should have known that. The Messiah would live in Egypt, at least for some period of time, and that was prophesied in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, and fulfilled by Jesus. And the Jewish leaders should have known that. The Messiah would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and announce the acceptable year of the Lord. That was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and fulfilled by Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. He even uses those exact words. The Jewish leaders should have known that. The Messiah would heal people of diseases and sicknesses. And that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, and fulfilled by Jesus. The Jewish leaders should have known that. The Messiah would speak in parables. That was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and fulfilled, once again, by Jesus. And the Jewish leaders should have known that. The Messiah would make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. And that was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and fulfilled by Jesus. The Jewish leaders should have known that. The Messiah would enter the temple with authority, and that was prophesied in Haggai chapter 7, chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, fulfilled by Jesus in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 21. The Jewish leaders should have recognized that. And one more. The Messiah would be rejected by the Jewish leadership. That was prophesied in Psalm 118, verse 22, and fulfilled by Jesus in Matthew 21, 42 through 46. And it's funny, that was the scripture we covered last time, and the Jewish leaders were told by Jesus himself that they were rejecting him. They were rejecting the cornerstone. Remember, the stone that the builders rejected would become the cornerstone, and Jesus is the cornerstone of the church today. There's plenty more prophecies that the Jewish leaders should have known, but I'll just stop right there. Here's the bottom line, people. The Jewish leaders, they had the facts, and they had the overwhelming evidence of the Messiah right there in front of them. They had the prophecy in the Scriptures, and they had the fulfillment of that prophecy in Jesus Christ. But they continued in their unbelief, regardless of the truth. And here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, I think we have what I would consider just about the pinnacle of their willful unbelief. And let's look at a few facts and see exactly how far that willful unbelief goes. If we go back to our scripture, back to chapter 28, verse 11, in verse 11 we find that the Roman guards, they're coming back and they're telling a story, a true story, to the chief priest. Now, it is speculation at this point if the chief priest actually believed the story or not. I believe that they did. But according to verses 1 through 4 in that same chapter, the Roman guards were witnesses to these four things. They were witnesses to, 1, an earthquake. They were witnesses, 2, to the stone rolling away. 3, the appearance of an angel. And 4, the resurrection of the dead man who was inside the tomb. Certainly they might not have seen him walk out, but maybe they did. They were witnesses to those four events. The Roman soldiers, it says here in verse 4, the guards were so afraid of him, meaning the angel, that they shook and became like dead men. I believe when you get to the point where you shake and you become like a dead man, you have no reason to lie about the story that you're about to tell. The story that they told the chief priest was a true story. So now here's the bottom line question. What are the Jewish leaders going to do with that truth? We know this. They were witnesses to the truth for the last 3.5 years. They saw the miracles, right? They heard the parables, right? They should have put the messianic prophecies and Jesus together, but they chose to dismiss the truth. And they dismissed it again and again and again and again. And now when they hear this story, they got to dismiss this one too. So how far will one go in their unbelief, regardless of the truth and the evidence right there in front of them? Well, there's three things that I want to point out from this story here this morning as to how far the Jewish leaders will go to resist the facts and to resist the truth when it's right there in front of them. So these will be our three fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin here this morning. How far will the Jewish leaders go? Well, fill in the blank number one. They had a total disregard of Old Testament prophecy. A total disregard of Old Testament prophecy. All those prophecies that I read to you before, they knew that those prophecies were messianic prophecies. And they saw Jesus as a fulfillment of that. And now there's two more that's right there in front of them. Let me explain these to you. Old Testament scripture prophesied that the Messiah would not see decay. Psalm 116, verse 11. An Old Testament scripture and prophecy said that Messiah would restore the people on the third day. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. And we know that Jesus rose on the third day. Two more prophecies. But the Jewish leaders had a total disregard for Old Testament prophecy. And they continued in their unbelief, regardless of the truth. The second thing, how far will they go in their unbelief? They had a total disregard of their own theological beliefs. They had a total disregard of their own theological beliefs. Now this one's kind of interesting. Listen to this one. The Jewish leaders were primarily made up of two groups of people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's almost like our government today, Democrats and Republicans. They kind of get along when they have to, but if they don't have to, they don't. And these two groups of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had major theological differences. The biggest difference was this. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, and they did not believe in angels. Remember back in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 19, they challenged Jesus on, what if this a man marries a woman and he dies, and he goes to heaven, and she marries his brother, and that goes through seven times, whose bride will she be in the resurrection? Their point was this. They didn't care about whose bride she was. They were challenging his belief on the resurrection. So the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, nor did they believe in angels. And the Pharisees, they did. And what do we have in the report from the Roman guards? We have the Roman guards reporting to them the appearance of an angel, and we have them reporting the resurrection of this dead man, Jesus Christ. You would think that the Pharisees would be rather excited about that. Why? Because now their theological beliefs, you know, we believe this, and you Sadducee guys, you don't believe this. Well, guess what? We need to believe the Roman guard story, because they said there was an angel there, and they said there was a resurrection. It's just like they could wave their finger right in the eyes of the Sadducees and say, what? I told you so. But they didn't. They didn't do that. If you had the proof, if you were at odds with another person about a certain issue, and you had the proof and the truth right there in front of you, and you could prove to them, ha-ha-ha, look, here it is, wouldn't you do that? But they had a disregard, a total disregard of their own theological beliefs, because they continued in their unbelief, regardless of the truth. And the third and final one, what else will these Jewish leaders do? They had a total disregard of the law, the Mosaic law. A total disregard of the law. The last thing a Jewish person, or even more so, a Jewish leader wants to do is associate with a Gentile Roman soldier. The Jews hate these guys, and the Jewish leaders hate them even more. These Roman soldiers oppress their nation. Remember our discussion back in from Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus heals the servant of a Roman centurion? And he says this, that this guy has more faith than all of you people in Israel. And I know that the Jewish people did not like Jesus saying that. He was associating with a Roman, Gentile, uncircumcised man. And here we have the Jewish leaders, not the Jewish common person, the Jewish leaders doing just that. The one thing that they tell other people not to do, we find them doing. The chief priest set aside their religious purity by using a Gentile unbeliever to assist in their cover-up of the resurrection. And they not only paid a large sum of money to do this, and did you ever think of this? Where did that large sum of money come from? I guarantee it did not come out of their pockets. It probably came out of the temple treasury. They did not only pay a large sum of money for the soldiers to lie. To lie. I think that was one of the commandments. But they promised to keep them out of trouble should their paid lies get them in trouble with the governor. Whose side are they on? What message are they preaching? What message are they teaching? What message are they displaying? The chief priests of Israel were willing to satisfy. They were willing to make atonement for Gentile sinners who were paid to sin by Jewish priests in order to appease a Gentile ruler. From the standpoint of the law, the Mosaic law, the actions of the chief priest could not be more despicable. They would have never, ever, ever approved of another Jew doing that. But that's okay for them to do that. So how far will a person go, regardless of the truth? Well, we see how far the Jewish leaders went. A total disregard of Old Testament prophecy. A total disregard of their own theological beliefs. A total disregard of their own Mosaic law that they were supposed to be upholding. Well, so much for the teachers and Jewish leaders. What about us? What about us? What about the people out there in the world that we come in contact with? I hope we realize and we know that the facts are right here. Amen? I hope we know that the truth is right here in front of us. Amen? I hope we know and understand that there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, and that He did die on an old rugged cross, and He rose from the grave, so that all who believe will have eternal life. That's the truth. That's what this book is all about. So here's the facts that we gather today. We know what the Jewish leaders did with the truth. The question for us is this: what are we doing with the truth? I promise you this, the truth does matter. And as Jesus promises, it will set you free. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.